Morning. To all the saints of God and to our visitors and to our friends, we say welcome and we greet you in the matchless name of Jesus Christ this morning. I have been charged to bring forth the word of God today. And I covet your prayers as we go forth with God's word. As we begin, I would like to take a moment just to pray. Present our hearts to God so that he would make a way for us to hear his word. So please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the worship that we have had thus far. We thank you, Father God, for the word that was read this morning, for the preached word. Father, we also give you thanks for the prayers, Lord, lifted up to you. Father, we are so thankful. And now, Father God, we just ask that you would get your servant, move him so that your will may be done. Father, I pray that my will would not be done in this place, but that your people would be edified and that Christ would be glorified. Use us now for your great purposes. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Have you ever thought that you knew someone, but after a certain period of time, you come to find out that you really don't know much about them at all? Or at least not as much as you thought you knew. When I was a freshman in college, after my first year, I went back home to get a summer job. And at the end of the summer, I went back to school, and I stayed in the same dorm that I stayed in previously. I stayed on the second floor, and the dorm didn't have a lot of people there just yet. Everybody was kind of coming back. And so during that time, everyone would kind of leave their doors open. Right? And so I'm walking down the hallway looking for people that I know. And as I walk past this one hallway, or walk past this one room, I'm sorry, down the hallway, I see my friend's room, and he's inside of his room, sitting on the bed, watching television. I figure I'd go in and greet him. So I walk into the room, and as he's sitting there watching television, I say to him, hey, what's going on, Jones? I called him by his last name. His name was Darren Jones. I said, what's going on, Jones? And he turns around, and he looks at me like, what's up with that? I said, okay, really, man, how was your summer? What's going on? Tell me, what's happening? And again, he looks at me like, so I said, I'll tell you what, you may be having a bad day. Maybe you had a bad summer. I'm going to leave you alone. So I leave. I go down the stairs, down to the first floor. I'm going to go out, right, and go onto the yard, as they called it, right, go onto campus. And as I'm walking down the hallway, I see him coming towards me. And when he gets in front of me, he says, hey, what's up, Tone? What's up? I said, I just saw you upstairs in your room, and you didn't have anything to see. You treated me like you don't even know me. He said, man, that's my twin brother. True story. That's my twin brother, Daryl. And he says, I don't know why he always does this when he meets somebody who knows me. Look, if you would have asked me if I knew Darren Jones before that incident, I would have said, sure, I know him. But it turned out that I didn't really know him as well as I thought I knew him. And I definitely didn't know his twin brother. I didn't know he had a twin brother. I simply didn't know him the way that I thought that I knew him. Now, our scripture today is Psalm 139. Please turn there. It's on page 522 of your Bibles, if you have the black Bibles in front of you from the chairs. Psalm 139. And the Psalms, as we just a little bit of history about the Psalms, The Psalms are a collection of prayers and hymns or songs which the believing community, both Old Testament believers and New Testament believers, have used to express the outpouring of their hearts to God, both for praise and lament or sadness. Excuse me. It's been said that the entire human existence, from birth to death, is expressed in the Psalms. Now, the title of our message today is Know the God Who Knows You. Know the God Who Knows You. Let me go ahead and read the psalm for us, and then we'll dive into the Word of God together. Okay. Psalm 139, it reads this way. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, and darkness is as light with you. For you formed me, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Amen. The word of God. Now, David, the writer of this psalm, and most of the Psalter, which is the collection of the psalms in the Bible, breaks this hymn of a praise. It's a hymn of praise, and he breaks this hymn of praise into two parts. Between verses 1 through 3 and verses 23 and 24. So take a look at that in your Bibles, okay? Take a look at these, what we call bracketed sections or an inclusio here as provided in verses 1 through 3 and verses 23 and 24. Now, the beginning of the psalm, that's verses 1 through 3, you'll see that this is a heartfelt declaration of praise, expressing that the Lord knows everything about David. Because the Lord is God.
So again, he states in verses 1 through 3, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. And if we look at the second bracket, at the end of the psalm, at verses 23 and 24, we see that this is a heartfelt prayer request in which David asked the Lord to reveal what he needs to know about himself, that is, what's in his own heart, so that he may live rightly before God and before his fellow man. Now, if you take a look at these two bracketed sections, you will see that the language is very similar in those sections. Look again at verse 1. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Look at verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Then he says in verse 2, you know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. He says at the second part of verse 23, try me and know my thoughts. Then he says in verse 3, you search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted in all my ways. Look at verse 24. And see if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So you see the relationship here? They're related words, they're related terms. So we use those two areas of scripture there, right, to bracket in the remainder of scripture. So everything else that's between that first set of scripture and the second set of scripture relates to the overall picture that's provided in this inclusio or in this bracketed portion of the scripture. And this also gives us or provides for us the big picture or the central idea of the passage that's before us today. And here it is. It says, here's our big idea, our central idea or big picture. It's this: we praise the Lord our God because the Lord knows perfectly what's in our hearts, and he graciously reveals our hearts to us so that we may know him and learn to walk rightly before him and with one another. That's a mouthful. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Okay, and I'll say it a little bit slower here. Okay, and take a little sip of water. Our big picture, our central idea again is this: we praise the Lord our God because the Lord knows perfectly what's in our hearts, and he graciously reveals our hearts to us so that we may know him and learn to walk rightly before him and with one another. Amen? That's our big idea, our central idea for today. Now, our passage today, or our sermon today, has two main points taken directly from the text. Okay, point number one, our praise should orient or direct our understanding of God. Say it again. Our praise should orient or direct our understanding of God. And we're going to see that in verses 1 through 18. The second point is this: our prayer should reorient, kind of turn us around. Our prayer should reorient our relationship with God and with others. Okay, so again, point number one, our praise should orient or direct our understanding of God. And point number two, our prayer should reorient our relationship with God and with others. And we're going to see that in verses 19. 24. So point number one, let's look at point number one. Our praise should orient or direct our understanding of God in verses 1 through 18. Now David begins this song or hymn of praise by describing three attributes of God. Now we'll see how expressing praise for these attributes helps us direct or orient our understanding of who God is. Now the first attribute which David gives praise for is God's personal knowledge of the believer. Now we see this in verses 1 through 6. Again, let's take a look at verse 1 through 6 again. Again, it reads this way: O Lord, you search me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my laying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand before me, and such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. But what do we see here? We see, number one, that God is omniscient. He is all-seeing. We also see that God's divine knowledge is discerning in verse 2, knowing our minds more closely than we know ourselves. We see that his divine knowledge is sifting us and finding us out in verse 3. And we also see that his knowledge is too wonderful or hard, too wonderful for this earthly mind to understand. We see all these things giving about God. So this represents, again, God's personal knowledge of the believer. The second attribute that we see here, which David gives praise for, is God's personal presence with the believer. We see this in verses 7 through 12. I'm not going to read that again, but I want you to know these points here. Point number one that about God's personal presence with the believer is this. God is omnipresent. He is always, always present, everywhere, at all times. God is omnipresent. Now, our natural response to this attribute of God is the same as our foreparents, however, after the fall. So, though God is everywhere, our response, for whatever reason, is that we have a tendency to do what? To run and try to hide from God. Even though he's everywhere and we cannot hide from him, we try to do that. It says at verse 10, that you shall hold me. And also that and his light dispels the darkness is what we see at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. We cannot hide from God because God is all present at all times. Now, our third attribute, which David gives praise for, is God's personal care for the believer. Let's begin that point here by looking at verses 13 through 16, which reads again this way. For you have formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Whew. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Listen to this in verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. What a wonderful passage of who God is and what God does. Now, this, of course, is a very timely passage of scripture for us today, isn't it? Being that it's Mother's Day. But have you been paying attention to the news this past week? The life of the unborn is front and center in the news. Now, as believers, as Christians, as children of God, we must not pick and choose which parts of the Bible are convenient to uphold and which parts of the Bible we can conveniently push aside. Now, I understand this is a very difficult and sensitive subject, perhaps for some more so than for others. But the purpose of God providing the totality of the scriptures to us is to, as I said, orient or direct our understanding of God based on his holy word and on his character, which does not change. The word of God was given to us so that we may understand the world the way God proclaims it to us in his word. God's word is clear in describing this world as twisted and broken because of sin. But we, as the church of the living God, are to be salt, which preserves what would otherwise be rotting away. And we are to be light which shines forth through the darkness into this wicked, that is, and crooked generation that's all around us. The word of God is clear. Who we are to be and what we are to represent and who we are to represent as children of God. Now, David gives praise to God that while he was yet unformed in his mother's womb, God knew him and the number of his days. Look, the unborn child in the mother's womb is precious in the sight of God. So then, he or she is to be precious, listen to me, in the sight of the believer, for we are the children of God ourselves. It's written in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. That's the world we live in. That's the world that God has given us, his word, to orient our thinking and our understanding of who God is. Well, after giving praise for his personal knowledge and his personal presence and his personal prayer, David then expresses his praise in verses 7 through 18 by telling God how much he loves the thoughts of God. Look at verse 17. He says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Look, the prophet Isaiah expresses the same line of thought this way. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. Look at verse 18. He says, if I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Look, how many people prayed to God this week? How many of you here prayed to God this week? I don't see a lot of hands going up. Look, billions of prayers ascend to God each and every day, and untold billions of messages are received from God each and every second of the day. So David says, how vast is the sum of them? They are more than the sand. David goes on to say, when I awake, I am still with you. Look, David, or you or me, we may lose consciousness of God as we sleep, but God never loses consciousness of us. Psalm 121, verse 4 reads this way, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Here's my question for you. Are you growing more in grace today because of your relationship with God? And does your praise orient or direct your understanding of who God is? That is, your knowledge of God. And who are you in Christ Jesus? Is your praise directing that? Do you know who you are in Christ? It's one thing to get up and praise him, but do you know who you are in Christ? And are you growing in Christ? Our praise should direct our relationship with God, our understanding of God. Point number two. We talked about praise. Now we're going to look at prayer. Our prayer should reorient our relationship with God and others. Again, we see this in verses 19 through 24. Now in point one, we're told to orient. Which again means to focus our understanding and knowledge on who God is. That's what I mean by orient. But here in point two, we are told to reorient. All right, that means we've kind of gone off track a little bit. And we need to get back on track. So reorient means that we take an honest assessment of our prayer life and of our relationship with God and with others. Look at verses 19 through 22. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Oh, men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? Listen, I hate them, David says, with complete hatred. I count them mine enemies. Wow. I mean, look. To say that there is an abrupt change in the psalmist's high and glorious descriptions of the three attributes of God in point one to his prayer here in point two would be an understatement. It's as though David is driving down the road at 55 miles per hour and slams on the brakes just to get our attention. And guess what? He does. He has our full attention now. Look, David has gone, but this is what's going on. David has gone from a mountaintop experience of praise and worship where he has communed with the God who created the universe, the heavens and the earth, and has now seen Yahweh, Jehovah God, as God that is perfect, has perfect personal knowledge of him. He's a God who has an all-encompassing personal presence of who he is, and he is a God that lavishes David with loving personal care. David has spent time on the mountaintop with God. And let me assure you of this. God personally knows each of his children. And through his Spirit, he is present with each of us who belong to him. And he cares deeply and intimately for all those who put their trust in him for salvation. How do I know that? Because it's written in the Word of God. Amen? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Look, you may be here today. And if you were to be honest with yourself, you don't have this relationship with God. You may go to church pretty often, but if you were to be honest with yourself, you don't have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If that is you today, would you please talk to me? What does this mean? What is the importance of this relationship with God that we always hear Christians talk about? It's eternally important. It's eternal life or eternal damnation. Listen. God wants us to get this right. This relationship that is available through him, but only through his Son. So again, if you need to talk to someone about this, please stay behind and talk to one of us. We'll have pastors at the door, and I'll be here as well at the end. Now, I believe that by the grace of God, every believer can experience a variety of mountaintop moments, that is, throughout our lifetime. But the problem is, we don't live on the top of the mountain. We live in the everyday circumstances and experiences of a fallen world where wickedness, bloodshed, the blasphemy of God's name abounds. So for David, who lived and served as the king of God's people in God's land and under God's rule and authority, his zeal for God is more than warranted and deserved for those who take their stand as the enemies of God. He was called to that purpose. Now, God doesn't tell us in this day and age for us to have these kind of prayers. You know, you don't just see somebody who cuts you off and you start praying like David here. But in this context, David was right to pray this prayer. But look at verses 23 and 24. David goes on to say this. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." That's noted. David's judgment of others is appropriate in this context. But David's judgment is not perfect. There is one whose judgment is perfect. God's the only one whose judgment is perfect judgment. David knows what it's like to miss the mark himself, to sin before a holy and righteous God, and to experience the distance that sin causes between us and God and between one another, who are a part of God's creation. If you want to see what that looks like, look up Psalm 51 as well as 2 Samuel chapter 12 when you get home today. David ends this psalm with praise, a praise that is, with a humble prayer from a humble heart. He desires, first of all, to be fully known by God, and secondly, to be led through life into a trusting, eternal relationship or walk with God. The very thing he stated that God could do and has done at the beginning of the psalm. Look, it would be wise for us to follow David's example. As we close here today, there are two things that I would like for you to keep in mind. The first is this. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, which reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." The first thing I would like for you to ponder today is this. Ask God to reveal and remove anything that keeps you from praising him rightly. Give it to God and allow him to nail it to the cross. If there's anything that's keeping you from praising him rightly, hand it over to God. He'll take care of it. Number two, be willing to take a spiritually mature evaluation of your own heart. What do I mean by that? Seek the Holy Spirit's help as you honestly assess your prayer life and your relationship with God and with others. Are you walking around saying, "I'm a Christian," and you can't get along with your brother or your sister? Yeah. Or maybe you're like me. One day I was walking along telling people that I was a Christian, sitting in church pews all over Washington, D.C. Telling people I was a Christian. But my life was not lining up with my words. Until that day, until that hour, where he came to me, spoke to me directly and said, "Tony Edwards, you are a liar. You are telling people one thing, but you're living something else." He spoke to my heart that day. Praise God, I've never been the same. He spoke to my heart in the shower, no less. There were more tears coming down my eyes than there was water coming out of that shower head. But let me tell you, when I got out that day, I was clean. Clean. And ready to run for my Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Father, we are so grateful for your word. We pray today, Lord, that you would, in fact, orient our praise so that we would understand you better. And that you would reorient our prayers so that our worship of you and our walk with you would be right, as well as our walk with our fellow man. Let us be salt and light in the world, because you have called us to be. We pray these things. We give you thanks. In Jesus' precious name, let the people of God say amen and amen.